Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here out in the studio. Voice is on a bit of a vacation at the moment, but yeah, bring it on. I'm keen to talk to you about Molong.
Yep, beautiful. I'm keen as mustard to get into it. Right next to me is Matty G from Tasmania. How you doing, Matty?
Oh, very good, thanks, Alan. Mm-hmm. Happy to be here.
We have matching Bundy long necks. We've just fresh gotten out of the pool. Didn't work today or yesterday or the day before. Starting to lose track now. life ain't that bad.
Life ain't that bad.
This golf, but life ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying?
It does feel that way.
Bit of big news. We haven't touched on the Tour Down Under in a while, and they've got some names jumped in since we last checked. I think last time we checked in was the Gooseman, right? Aaron Gossage?
Yeah, and the Gooseman.
Might have had Chandler Fry in there as well.
Correct.
Now, who have they snagged?
None other than Mr. 1100 himself just the other day, Ezra Robinson.
Big.
Very big.
Big. Easily the best disc golfer there.
The best Robinson.
The best Robinson. Well, couple worlds. but big. He's going to smash it down there.
Yeah. That's the cream on the top right there. That's, that's bigger than Corey Ellis. That's the biggest in their history. Corey Ellis was good last year, but, you know, Gossage and Ezra are both higher performers than him at the moment. So huge for Tour Down Under.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Corey Ellis may as well be Dylan Feldman now that they've got Ezra Robinson.
Yeah. And a little you're hanging out with a few Kiwis at the moment and a few internationals. Any rumors?
Yeah, well, I was having a good chat with my good friend Thomas Gilbert the other day at the pub. We were sharing a meal and just having a laugh. And he mentioned that the proctologist potentially... not potentially, what's wrong with it, will be joining the Tour Down Under. It's just not announced yet.
Yeah. Huge.
You heard it here first on Throllers.
Heard it here first. Luckily, we don't have any listeners, so it's not going to be big spoilies. But for the three people that listen, proctologist will be there. Put it on your calendars.
We have discussed, though, that one of our three listeners is none other than Brody Smith. So, Brody, feel free to take this to Tour Life and let the people know.
Yeah, just say your sources, though. Give us a shout.
Yeah, shout us out.
And all these players might be heading down to Tassie. Is that what I'm hearing? Is this potential, Matt?
Oh, tell me more, Matt. Tell me more.
Yeah, there's conversations to be had. The Tour Down Under finishes with the New Zealand Nationals the weekend before the Tassie Open. So it makes sense. Why would they not fly across and play one of the best courses in Australia?
Bang. Palomino
this year.
No comment.
Okay. So maybe not one of the best guys.
It'll be at Wallaby Hill this year.
Now that'd be good. If you can pick up 5 or 6 of these big internationals, then there might be 60 people showing up then.
Could be.
That could get it over that big 6-0 mark.
We can hope.
All right, well, quick move on. We've got a lot to get through, so we'll talk about the Ruffy social day that happened on the weekend. Have you got the stuff in front of you, Chris?
Yeah, of course I do.
What are we looking at?
Big scores. That's what we're looking at, some big scores. We had three players hit the double digits, another two go 9, and another two go 8. So my maths tells me about 7 players have gone 8 under or better at Ruffy at the social day.
Big.
So we've got a bit of a race here for the seasonal leaderboard, and coming in with the 8-unders is Brett Zeebel and Mr. Penn Liu. The 9s, we got Kalen and our mate Oscar Fellberg hitting the 9s. In the double digits, we got Chris Scott and Aiden Howard hitting the 11-under, but none other than the Doe himself, Ryan Dodier, hit the 12-under to take the chocolates at Ruffy the other weekend.
That is good Nationals prep. I can't wait to see how well he played today.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Can't wait to see how 12 down.
Spoiler.
We'll get to it.
40 meter,
Sure
you
is
know,
on big
roughy
card.
18, 40 meter holes. I'm sure that's great preparation for Molong.
Translates pretty strongly.
It's okay, good.
I'm having a look at the handicap leaderboard here. Bridget Albertson at the top. Kaelin Hiramis. He must be slowly sorting his handicap out because he seems to be up there a lot. Glenn Ralston also in second, and Ben Hare in fourth. Oh, very nice.
There you
What are we
go.
looking at down the bottom?
I'm just trying to jump into
Oh, that's right.
some.
I got it. We got Kurt Moulton at the bottom, Miguel Adriano, Anthony Pearsall. What are you doing, big dog? And Paul Baker, all really disappointing. Come on, guys.
There you go.
Get your shit together.
Ben Hare took out Division C. You had Zolt. We say that bloke's name a lot. Zolt took out Division B, followed closely by Glenn Ralston. And then obviously Ryan Diart took out Division A.
Nice. I think we might have had some dollars guarantees on the line for this one. Big. We're both hunting 50 on this one. Both of us would hit the mark if we got it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct. We would both make it to 55 or
And you had a
54.
doubles team. What were the doubles pairings that you selected?
So I had Aiden going in with Mike van der Linden, going up against Jacob Cruden, Mr. Trashman himself, and Penn.
And surely I gave you what, three for Jacob and Penn and seven for Aiden and I mean other way around, seven for Jacob and Penn and three for Micah. That was clearly not an even matchup, right? Is that's what we went
Yes, nearly. No, you drew it right down the middle. Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Oh,
And
rightly so, rightly so.
yeah, and gave me 5 points at either way. And I took the clear favorites, to be honest, that
Well,
you
it
just
looks
scored
like
them up at five.
Aiden beat Penn by three and Mike beat Jacob by two. So that looks like a pretty clear fucking victory to you. Just never, ever count on Jacob being not shit. I will never learn. It's so frustrating. So that puts you to 50 on the dot, right?
No, that puts me to 51.
All right. Well,
Yeah.
I need Bain
You
in the
need
top
it.
five to hit me the same, right?
Yeah, you needed the six to hit the same with Bainey getting the top five at Aussie.
Big. All right, well, we better have a look at the Aussie Open then,
Let's go straight there.
eh? Did you watch? No, that wasn't live. I'm getting confused, aren't I? Never
No,
mind.
it wasn't live, no. Yeah.
I was keeping track of live scores pretty good though, and did see some stuff on socials that it was not the best setup. Tee
There
signs
were
were
rumblings.
yeah, the tee signs were looking pretty rough, like some scribbled on markings and some ones that were just missing.
Hashtag
Not
ATIA.
ideal.
Hashtag
Hashtag
ATIA.
ATR. Players packs didn't show up till after the event started, I'm pretty sure.
Until the Sunday,
So,
hashtag ATIA.
yeah, so not a good start. But how'd we go with the scores? I know you were disappointed with the turnout. Were you disappointed with the event?
Well, I was the only following along with live scores, and I look forward to Park Media's coverage. And look, there was some runaway victories in quite a few of the divisions. If you go down to the bottom, you've got the MA2 Victor took it down in a tight one by one stroke. In FA1, you had a
Maybe give a
grand.
shout out to Luke Godfrey just in case. He could be a loyal listener. Well done,
Yeah.
Luke.
Well done, Mr. Godfrey. Good vacuum making. FA1, massive victory to, you know, our mate Karina, straight from Frankfurt, winning by
Jace's sister.
winning by many strokes.
Karina Widner. That must be Jason Ash's sister.
Must be. There's a lot of
The
Poms.
lesser known Widner.
There's a lot of Poms in here. Chris Brown, MA1, taking an 11-stroke victory.
I didn't know he played disc golf.
There you go.
Given up on the music just to be solid 928 at disc rated disc golfer.
And moved to London. MP50, winner by 5 strokes. Another Pom, Adam Keane. Very keen of him. FP40, winner by about 70 strokes, from Canada, Christy Lee.
Big.
3-stroke victory in MP40, taking it over your mate, Mika Lyko taking it over Chris Villa. You got good ties with
Chris Villa.
Yeah, good friend of yours, right?
Yeah, I consoled him. He was pretty disappointed.
All right, and now we're getting to the pointy end. Who do we back in the FPO?
Daylight between Sophia Donicky and the rest of the field is what we called. Did not cash.
Yeah. Did not cash.
Justine Bitker, the 898 rated. Whack. Just getting it done. Wins by two strokes. Big time.
Good work, Justine. But obviously, all our attention was genuinely on MPO with a 9-person cash line. Matt, were you following along as well?
I was, yes. Watching the live scores roll in. It was a little bit difficult with the new 18. I wasn't quite sure what was happening with that course. I've heard it's tough.
Mm. Who was your tip going in, Matt?
I was backing the hometown talent of Blake. I figured he'd have that hometown advantage. He does crazy shit on the current Mundaring course, so I expected that to follow through, and he did not disappoint.
Mm. Very good. It was. Oh yeah, go for it, Chris.
Yeah, Alan, you obviously had Bainey, and myself, I had Levi Stout.
Mm.
Yeah, well, they both finished the same. Was it tied for first?
It was.
No, it was not tied for first. What? Another good question. Was Bainey top five?
In my heart, he was. Yeah, he's top five in my heart. Yeah. We were watching the scores pretty closely. Bainey in the hunt round one. Then they played the easier course round two, and he decided not to show up. Everyone else put in some big numbers. He put in an egg one. I thought my dreams were done. And then in round three, he put in a very hot performance, really starting to reel back those numbers in the clubhouse at 11 down overall. And we had some names that I needed a couple bogeys, I think, on the final hole. And it didn't end up swinging my way. I thought I had it. And then Knut Vollenhollend ends up taking a birdie on the final hole, the hole that has been ruining everyone. Big, big numbers on hole 18. All he had to do was not birdie. I never even considered it. He wasn't a factor. But he gets the birdie on hole 18, jumps up into a tie for fourth with Thomas Gilbert instead of a 700 away tie for fifth with Luke Bain. Really disappointing. Really, really disappointing. I did not see that coming.
Nah, that's massive. It didn't get birdied basically by anyone else all day. Only one other player got it all day, and the average is over six strokes. The average is over bogey on that hole for the field. So, yep, well done.
He takes a par on home. He takes a par on fucking home.
Yep.
Oh.
And that other birdie, I think that actually secured cash.
Oh, big time. Was that
yes,
Jackie
it did.
Chan?
Because, yeah, Jackie Chan took the four, and they have Noah Higgins, Alex Kynaston with a 7 and a 9. So Jackie needed that hole 18 birdie.
There you go. Well, it fucked me. Luke Bain came sixth. I needed top five. I do not match. That means that you are the Dollars Guarantee champion, Chris. So well done. I am not happy for you.
For season one, ring a ding ding. Thanks, Matt.
Well done, Chris.
Thanks, Matt.
Fuck you, Jacob. That's all I got to say. but winning the whole thing was Pekka Hovinen with a 15 under. I think he had it comfortably-ish and then blew it on the final hole. Am I looking at an 8?
You are looking at an 8.
And Blake takes Snowman. A par, and that sends him to a tie, and Blake threw it out of bounds on his approach shot.
Do we know which hole they played?
One. Well, whatever... Okay. One was for world teams. The one where Dave
one or 18.
That pooch of a shot. That's the one. But yeah, Blake threw it out of bounds, and that's all she wrote. Still an incredible performance. Well done, Blake. $859 US coming his way. Thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome work. Massive event. So many 1,000 rated players. You know, Bainey's got sixth with 1,005 rated event. So, you know, and 10th place was also 1,000 rated. So just huge, huge, huge things for Australian disc golf.
Yeah, it was pretty cool watching the first round, and it seemed like there was a 7-way tie for first. Was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So cool to see. Well, I don't know if we'll see it back again until some other big thing happens. But yeah, glad they could capture some of that magic.
Yeah, love it.
One that we've got to touch on, I'll have to go back to it now because it's poignant for this weekend coming up. But the social day leaderboard for Melbourne Disc Golf Club. We've got one social day left, and that is this weekend. And I think there are some contenders. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. And so I'm imagining a couple of these players, rightfully so, probably let Kevin know that they had to pull out a Molong because, you know, they've, you've got to take down. You've got to take down the season championship here in Melbourne. So I'm imagining up in Molong right now, you have not ran into Penlu.
No.
You have not. Yeah, exactly. You have not ran into Aiden Howard.
No.
And you have not ran into Ryan Deer.
I think the brick wall might have ran into Ryan Deer, but we'll get to that. All right. Well, we're going to leaderboard now. We've got Penn in first, Aiden in second, Tim Ware in third, Juan Rader in fourth, Mike Vanderlinden in fifth, and then Ryan Deer in sixth.
Yes, but Ryan...
I may as well give Doug the shout-out. Doug's there in seventh. Well done, Doug.
No, but the Ryan Deer shout-out, the Ryan Deer shout-out's very important because Ryan Deer is the only player there sitting on one less event than everyone else.
Big. So if he was playing wherever this weekend, the all points go in.
Yeah, exactly. Free swing.
Well, he must have left tonight then. So you couldn't possibly miss out on that.
No.
Let's say he doesn't show up. What are we looking at for Penn? Who's in first?
So Penn's worst round at the moment is an 83. So he's got you know 16 points there to work with, and Aiden, who's trying to chase him down, his worst is basically an 85. So Aiden's only got about 15 points to work with. So it is so tight, given that less than 2 points separate them at the moment.
Big. Very, very big. Is Aiden here? I honestly haven't even been paying attention.
I don't think he is.
So Aiden will be at the social day on the weekend?
Aiden is there tomorrow, and so is Penn.
Huge.
And I'm half expecting Ryan, after seeing some live scores today, I'm half expecting Ryan to be there as well.
I'll have to keep an eye on that. What is your tip? Who do you think ends up winning this season two social days?
I hope that somehow I can be some sort of like sabotaging factor to just fuck either one of them tomorrow. Like, I'm hoping that the three of us are podium, and because wherever I finished, it just screwed someone over. So we'll see which way that goes. It would be sweet to see Penn get this done. Like, this guy is like nothing but a very good MA1 player. And if he takes out the season, that's pretty huge.
Massive. Yeah. Is cheating a little bit. He has two wins at Melton. I don't think that should count, but that's fine. It would be good to see. He's had a pretty good year. And this would be a nice little cherry on top.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the big one, Nationals. So we're here in Molong. We got in Wednesday. We got three practice rounds in, and we had a round out there today. You were very interested in the course. We had heard some negative feedback leading into the event. I think they have, from what I've heard, they have made some changes since that cold snap layout and have got rid of the couple of holes that people really hated. This course is okay. That's what I can give you. I'm not G'd up to play it tomorrow. I'm not sad I'm going to play it tomorrow. It's fine. There are a few jank holes. There's a few baskets that are next to out of bounds. Mm. And I do not like that. Couple weird little Mando things, but nothing egregious, I don't think, but nothing super inspiring. I think the hole one's a great hole. There are a few good holes out there as well that are enjoyable.
Yep.
It's fine. Like, I'd happily be playing it, but I'm not like, you know, this is not Gambia. You know what I mean? This is not Point Mina. Even like Tunnel Ridge was fun. It's fine. Which I wish I was more inspiring for you, but that's where we're at. Is that your thoughts, Matty? What are you thinking?
Yeah, there's some fun holes out there. There's a lot of ones that are just made a bit too difficult for difficulty reasons.
Mm.
A few shots where you basically just drive down a fairway and then have to take a 90 degree turn, which I'm not a fan of. Other than that, it's fine.
It's like, I wish I could have more for you, Chris, but it's manageable as well. So it rated harder than I thought it would today. I called 960-ish par, and I think it was maybe closer to 970. A lot of out of bounds, they can get yourself into trouble, but it is manageable. If you play smart golf, you can get a lot of pars.
Par came in at 978.
Yeah, 978.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Definitely worse than I expected, but I helped that. I helped that out a little bit.
You did your bit.
I did my part.
There are a lot of people doing their part.
Yeah, it was tough. A lot of big numbers, and the conditions were incredible today. So barely any wind. Hot, but...
Oh, no, I had wind.
Barely. There's barely any wind. Oof. Matty, no, the wind was following Matty around, apparently. I feel like it should have played better. Potentially it will tomorrow. There's birdies out there.
Oh, yes.
There's not a lot of birdie holes, but for normal people. But there's birdies out there. But it's just a lot of out of bounds that you can get yourself into trouble with. If you hit early, like, the holes are fairly long. So if you hit early, you got a bit of distance to cover. Stuff like that.
I think the thing that surprised me most is the spread of numbers across the divisions.
It's true.
Because there's some big divisions. MA40, it's got 32 people, and scores range from +5 to +29.
Yeah,
so that's big. And for that course, I expected more groupings, like 10-way ties.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. Yeah, it's more manageable than some people letting on, I would think. We'll get to my division and to me and my round. But you can shoot yourself in the foot. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I did that today. We'll have a look. We ran round in now, though. We'll have a quick look. We won't go into too much detail. We'll do that next pod. But we'll have a look at MA40. And no surprise, Nicholas Hall, who is a course manager.
Some say he's out there playing the course right now.
He could be. The man plays a lot of rounds. He's on top. +5. Very good round today. Jay Ross, ever since I gave him a shout out for being shit at this golf, he has really turned a corner. He's sitting there in third, so I love that. Love that by Jay. And it's wild. It's a very straight course.
Very much so.
And Jay's a big time hyzer guy, so it's a bit unusual to see. If
you're 90 meters straight, you're in for a good time.
That's why I thought Alan would be good at this, but nope. FA1, we've got Kirsten Murray way out in front of Anita Webber. Kirsten's pretty good, though. I think this just might be a talent gap issue. Not sure anyone's going to be able to do too much to catch Kirsten.
Yeah.
In MA1, 42 players. Big field.
Huge.
And out in front, Broden Sherratt. Anyone who has played with Broden before, I always say every time I play with him, I'm 5-6 holes in or something, and I'm just like, I don't understand how you don't win every tournament you play.
The boy throws far.
He throws far, he throws straight, so he does some really nice stuff, and then 5 holes later, he's 6 putted like 4 of the holes, and I'm like, never mind.
With each putt going further than the last putt was.
Yeah. He does some great stuff. He does some terrible stuff, but he must have not done anything terrible today. He's at even. -1 going into the final hole. Mm. And
pretty clean round. 2 birdies, 2 bogeys.
Yep, just managed it, and that gets him the lead. I had said that I wanted to shoot like keep it under five, like five or down, and I said that would be doing plenty in my division, and that would have had me in sixth place on chase card, so I would have been right. But unfortunately, I threw six out of bounds shots, a lot of them very early, and every single one of them at the very end of my flight. So I never lost any distance. I would have been the exact same shot if it landed in or if it didn't. So I ended up with a plus 12 that was really more like a plus 6, but I was just a little bit shit. This course can get you. There's probably only like 8 holes that the OB is like pretty prevalent,
Yes.
and I found
And Mandos.
OB on 6 of them.
Yeah. There are a lot of Mandos, a lot of out of bands. It's interesting.
But yeah, even for Broden, and then plus 24 for the bottom. But most of the actual bottom was more closely to around 14, 15. So still a pretty decent swing after a round. But this was not the strongest field we've ever seen at a nationals. I can tell you that if I may one.
No, it wasn't. I was definitely considering not tipping you in the tip six, and I was flipping a coin, obviously between you and your mate BJ Clevenger, and it landed on Alan Brunstein. So when I saw you go triple double bogey and be plus six through three, I was like, I wish I had a tip BJ.
Yeah,
BJ.
that would have been good. Well, I can
Yeah.
tell you that I was about six. I was collectively 6 meters off of being plus six. It was very disheartening, and that would have been 9:33 rated above my rating. So I will try to turn things around for you tomorrow, Chris. But
Well, please do.
don't get your hopes up.
You can't do worse than BJ.
Yeah, true. Cam Ford doing surprisingly well. I don't like that. Plus six. Pritt also doing surprisingly well. Plus six. Don't like that either. But yeah, Ben Quinn, one to watch. The highest rated player in the field with a plus eight. Let's see if he can sneak that down tomorrow. And yeah, I'm looking
Ben.
forward to being on a card with Tom Beanland, Jack Smith, and John Lewis, my good friends.
Best pals.
Best pals.
I'm keen to see what happens on League Card. We've got the reigning eruption champ, Cade. We've got Troy Faramont, who's the only person to birdie hole one. And we've got the leader himself, Broden Sherritt. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch. Could go any way.
I've only seen Broden play once, and it boggles the mind that he is shot even on any course.
Yeah, love the guy. I hope all the best for him. I would be amazed if he's on lead card tomorrow, on the final day. I'll be amazed. MP40, our big boy Dazza had been in pretty good form. Played with him on the weekend at Bald Hill, and he was just lacing lines, throwing pure shots. Played with him here, and he was doing plenty of work. It is very referee friendly. A lot of the holes here. So no surprises to see him there in second place, one shot off the leader, Michael Yu. So Dazza and Chris Finn tied for second, plus two, 963 rated golf. That's good shit there by Dazza.
Yeah, huge. Can't wait to watch the MP40 battle shake out over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. American dude, Das Loomis there, and Ryan Johnson both just two off of Dazza. It's gonna be a tight one, so keen to see how that all shakes out, but I would not be surprised if Daz is going home MP40 champion.
Yeah, bring it home,
Yeah.
Daz. Bring it home.
Yeah, there's some very different rounds amongst them. We've got Daz with five birdies
Big.
Compared to three for the leader and only two for Finney. So some
Yeah.
very different golf being played out there.
I think the top end potential goes to Dazza. If he can keep it in bounds and hit some putts, he's home.
Just to put that in perspective, with that birdie right there, had a little look at the MPO field. Only four players in the field got more birdies than Darren Staysmith today.
Big,
Big.
Yeah.
big, big, big.
Not surprising.
Speaking of big in the FBO, did you manage to watch any of the FBO coverage this morning?
I did. It was on nice and early. I hope they go on the same time tomorrow because that was nice.
8 a.m. tomorrow, starting a little later for some reason.
Okay, but yeah, got to work this morning, got to watch a bit of it. Huss just had class. Those two birdies on hole 4 or 5, I got to watch them live. That drive on 4 to like 4 meters, awesome. Solid birdie on 5. This is hers to take home for sure.
Yep, she was great. I was up this morning watching the whole thing. It was fantastic. Having a bit of fun with the boys on commentary in the YouTube chat. It was very, very enjoyable. After Huss's drive on hole 1, I tell you now, that was a crush. That tree that she, there was a one tree that she beat in the end. That's all I'm trying to do. And she got up there and she did that. I was very impressed. I knew from then she's going to be on. That was big time. And just too good for the rest of the field.
We did get some inside lines from Huss after her round, though. She was saying that Peyton was a bit nervous for round 1. And she's expecting big things in round 2. So, game on.
We'll see. Unfortunately, I tee off at like 9 a.m. now tomorrow. So, I'm not sure how much of that I'll be able to watch. But we shall see.
Yeah.
And then the MPO, all eyes are on the bottom of the field. Ryan Deere, +9, started as good as I did. I have no idea what happened. I'm very keen to find him and give him a heap of shit.
Hang on, I think I've heard that Ryan Deere name mentioned earlier in the pod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, up and about at the social day, expecting good things, and dead last. What is going on? What was the start, Matty? What are we looking at?
A lot of big numbers.
He goes 7, 4, 4, 4. So what's that? A double?
5 over 4.
5 over for 4. Big.
And I think it was a 10 over for 10.
Big.
That's big.
Big. No good.
I would know. And that's big.
That's big, yeah.
Not loving seeing his card mate there in Marcus Vellotter either, who started with the double-double +4 through 2. Did hit the 4 birdies, as he does have the class to do. But after his performance at Eruption, was expecting bigger things from Vill this weekend.
Yeah, I thought he was back, but apparently not. So, not sure what's going on there. A couple of Melbourne boys down the bottom. Hate to see that. Leo Dykes not that much further ahead of him. So, +5, decent score, but not so much in MPO, because as we move to the top of the leaderboard, you have guys like Thomas Gilbert and Dave Perry to contend with, and that is no easy feat. Dave Perry coming in with the clutch 6 down, the best of the Aussies, and Thomas Gilbert just 2 better than that with a -8, 1039 rated round. I don't normally follow the MPO around after because I don't particularly care. But I wanted to watch Thomas Gilbert because this course seemed breakable.
That was his words.
Yeah, he said that at dinner. And when we played it, I was like, yep, I can see if you were so much better, how you could just throw not the intended lines and do some real damage to this course. So reason I picked him in my pick 6, because it's not like it's Invalid where you just got to be better. You can really do some wild shit if you are wild. And that was fun to watch. I look forward to you getting the chance to watch the footage of that, because you will see, Bainey and Frosty and stuff throwing shots, and then you will see Thomas Gilbert throwing different shots.
Hole 5 was the first time we really saw it, where he just threw it out over the little pond. Everyone else is doing the layup shot.
Yeah, there's a dam on your right. You're basically just trying to throw a straight shot and then at 90 degrees up. And he just goes, nah, I'm just going to hyzer over the dam and then land.
Huge shot.
Yeah, land like 40 meters from the basket and jump putt up to my tap-in birdie. Pretty ridiculous. That was really cool. And I can't imagine he'll do any worse than that tomorrow. So I think he will pretty comfortably get this done. He'll end up winning by at least 6 strokes, I think.
And I feel like the 2 bogeys he got, he'd clean them up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hole 2, I'm surprised by that one.
Yeah.
Same with hole nine.
Yeah, hole two must have been out of bounds. Hole nine, he threw this disgusting air shot. It was so far. It's a huge wide open fairway, slightly leaning down to the right, and then there's a mandrel on the left that's like in more than 90 degrees angle to the basket. It is one of the jank holes on the course. Unbirdieable for most people, but if you can throw it really, really far and get down really, really right, you can then throw a high, high hyzer to get up and stall around the corner. He did that and went OB long, and then almost hit the very long comeback to a quite elevated basket. I can definitely see him, not just cleaning that up, but taking a birdie on that tomorrow. So, look for that neg eight to be there or thereabouts again tomorrow. And if Dave can get another six, like, that would be pretty fantastic. Because other than that, you got Bainey at five, Blake at four with Jade, and a few others there at 3, 2, and 1.
Shout out has to go to Blake for being the only clean card of the day. So bogey free, Blake Houston. Well done. Congratulations. Bainey close with just the one bogey. Blake with the only clean sheet.
Yeah, that's huge. With the amount of out of bounds here, that is pretty massive. I'm keen for sure for the rest of it. I think there's some fun activities planned for tomorrow night, some festivity stuff. There's about a million people camping on site. They have a huge area. There's like a showgrounds thing. It is hot as fuck, though, and there are a lot of flies there. We are at a nice Airbnb with a ginormous pool, and I do not envy the people camping at all.
Nope.
But we might spend some time there tomorrow for the fun activities.
Yeah, we have the longest drive for the male and the female, and then also a ace run, which will be fun.
There we go. I am interested to see the dick swing between Blake Houston and Thomas Gilbert. That will be good times. What do you got planned for tomorrow, Chris? You watching the just staying home watching the live scores?
I'm gonna head out to Werribee and play the social day.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
sounds good. I know the throwers guarantees are done. You got any throwers guarantees for the rest of the weekend?
Why don't we go with just like, what should we keep the trollers going?
Yeah, that sounds even better. We do a trollers guarantee, Matty.
Oh.
And it's something that won't happen. Could, theoretically, but won't.
Oh, that's easy.
What's that?
Oh, my trollers guarantee is that Ed Heslin will win MA1.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Ed Heslin. He's only five shots off the lead.
Yeah, he could.
That's manageable.
What do you want?
That's in the mix. I've got one. Broden Sharrett will be on lead card on Sunday.
That's a good one. Oh, that's a very good one. Yep, could. Won't.
Could. He won't.
Oh, what do we got? I got to have a little bit. Where's my trollers guarantee? I like, what do we got? Leo Dykes. What can we do here? All right. Let's just go with this one. Leo's got four shots over Ryan Deer. Leo Dykes definitely beats Ryan Deer this weekend. Definitely. There's no way he could lose it from here.
Does that still
play with DNF? Nah, Leo will finish ahead of Ryan Deer. I guarantee it. That's my troller's guarantee.
All right. I feel like that one of our three is the most likely.
Yeah, well, so we don't have to actually give up 10 points this time, so I'm just being a little bit more cheeky.
All right. I like it.
All right, what about a bit of spotlight, not light? Finish it off so I can get back to drinking.
All right, I've alluded to all of mine mostly, but I've got, so I mentioned Penn being within reach for my spotlight, and I mentioned Daz for his awesome birdie rate, even comparison to the MPO field. They're my spotlights. You got anything?
Spotlight goes to the park stuff. That was fun this morning. I really enjoyed that. Get good interaction in the chat. with Jace and Maddie. I think they might have given me a bit of shit in the MPO one too. Someone did come up and mention that they had heard that Cam Ford was well ahead of me. So yeah, that is my spotlight. They were a bit of fun, Maddie.
Yeah, my spotlight it goes out to Sharon and Kev Costa, putting on a great tournament. Always happy to be at Nationals.
Good one. That's a good one.
Yep.
All right, my not lights.
Not light.
Yeah, going back to that same vein, hole 11.
Hole 11, oh yeah.
Hole 11, it is a 140-meter par 3 uphill in a boulevard of trees.
Trees left, it's, trees right, low ceiling.
There have been zero birdies on that hole across all divisions.
Yeah. Playing
not
like,
even not even a birdie putt.
Nah, no way. Playing like 3.8 for MA1, 3.4
yeah.
for MPO.
It's just too hard.
I don't understand it. Most people in my division are just throwing any shot they can to get off of the fairway just so they can throw a hyzer in. Yeah, that's a good not lie. That's I don't understand that. There's a few things I don't understand on that course, and that's one of them.
Good segue. Good segue.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got a couple of not lights. Honorable mention has to go to, I haven't checked live scores since we started talking shit, but the Australian batters seem to be doing a pretty poor job at playing cricket at the moment. So stuff you, Australian batsmen. But actually, my actual not light, look, a mate was in need. A mate was in need. Look, classic Tony behavior. I will caveat with that. But Tony needed a lift to Mo Long. And it didn't matter how I tried to advertise it. No one came to the party. And in the end, he's had to beg, borrow, and let's be honest, most likely steal someone else's car. And he's made it up to Mo Long. Well done, Tony. But come on, Melbourne disc golfers, help a brother out.
The not light should be firmly and squarely in Tony's corner, but that's fine. Just turn on the people.
Just for clarity, when did he try and get to Mo Long?
It was like Friday.
Kev Costa got a spotlight, and rightfully so. And I'm going to give him a big fat not light in response. So he was marking out the OBs. Hole 18 is a very, very small island hole. Lots and lots of layup zones, so it's not the end of the world.
Nah.
But if you're trying to go to the island, it is fucking tiny. It is tough. Kev did not. He knows his limitations. And then he's thrown a nice layup shot. Juiced a little bit, but it's all good. Sitting right on the fringe. Like, you know, on grass, not all in the path. So, he should be fine. He walks up to it, and then he remembered that he had parked his car slightly inside the island when he went to paint it. So instead of moving the car, just painted around his tire. And would you believe it, that is where his disc landed.
Oh,
out of bounds in the like half a disc sized pocket that he painted
himself. I heard himself. Him talking about something along those lines. I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's gold.
It was pretty fucking funny.
That is awesome.
I'll have to try and find a photo of that and send it to you. But yeah, he gets my not light because he did it to himself.
Yeah. No one else to blame.
Classic.
Maybe Classic. Sharon.
Maybe Sharon. Sweet. All right. You got anything else?
Nah, that was short and sharp. Well done, fellas. Matt, it's been a pleasure to have you. We got to get Matt on more often.
No, we don't. Oh. All right, rest that voice up, Chris. I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace out.